Don't we go before him in prayer? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, God. We never want to take for granted the place that we come together and bind our hearts with prayer and worship and fellowship and your word. And I pray, God, here tonight that you would move in a way, God, that would strengthen us, encourage us, supply into our minds knowledge and understanding that we can apply it appropriately and correctly in life, that would produce glory unto you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why don't we lift our hands now and worship him? Hallelujah. You're worthy, oh God. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy, Jesus.
Worthy is thou.
We've come to bless you.
Lamb was slain.
Oh, we've come to worship you, Jesus.
Holy, holy. It's on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is thou, Lamb was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to heaven. Break every chain. you're working. We have a couple of needs that we're going to take before His throne. Sister Jessie Bolton, she was having an emotional day the other day. Aren't you thankful for our prayer chain? Thank you, Sister Dot, for doing that. Give it up for Sister Dot. Yeah, she deserves that. Vicky Sugg, her husband is asking for fervent prayer. And then Deborah Calloway, that's Matthew Bright's mother. Sister Bonnie Newberry, she's sick. David Vandenberg, which is a cousin of Sister Vicky Jones, is sick. And then Sister Dickie, she is home, and that's a blessing. That's a miracle, actually. So we're thankful for that. If you have any special need, or you would just like to stand in for someone, or you just want prayer, you can go ahead and come down to this altar area and someone will pray for you. There's nothing too small. God sees every detail, even down to the cubit. That's what He tells Noah to build. Down to the cubit, He tells Noah how to build the ark. So if you don't think He cares about your details, you're wrong. He does. Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you for your presence. God, I thank you for the privilege to get to call on your name. God, you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. God, we thank you for what you've done in Sister Dickie's life, God, and we thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of those that we mentioned tonight. God, you know every need without us even speaking it. And you're able, God. Your ways are higher. Your thoughts are higher, God. We bless your name tonight. We bless your name. We bless your name. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea. Creation revealing your majesty. Thank you, Jesus. From the falls afar to the fragrance of spring. Every creature unique in the song that it sings. All exclaiming, indescribable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, all struck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing. Every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light? Yet contains it to bring us the coolness of night. Uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, all struck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky, you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, all struck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing. Thank you.
about him tonight. I'm thankful for him. At this time, we'll take up our Wednesday night offering. Thankful to see each of you, and I'm very excited to hear what Brother Chad has to say. I enjoy hearing him preach. Thank you, Jesus, for another day to get to worship you. I bless your name. I pray that you would have your way in this place. I pray that you would bless those that are able to give and those who aren't able to give, God. Every blessing, every good and perfect gift comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard. When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard.
All things together for our good, and it's really great to believe that, but he also gives us plenteous of opportunities to live that in this life, and to sing those songs are refreshing and encouraging, and to preach that message and teach that message is refreshing and encouraging. But when real life is lived, he gives us an opportunity that even when we can't see it, we have to believe it. Even when we have no foreknowledge of it, that he's going to work at all things for our good. And the simplest illustration that I could give you, and I gave it actually in a phone conversation today, when God allowed me to see this as a youth pastor, how much I enjoyed me and my brother, which I enjoyed him being here tonight. And he's doing a great work in Greenville, Texas with all the hospital stuff. But me and my brother loved cinnamon toast. Boy, I mean, you could lay 8 slices of bread down there. You're good, sis. Thank you. 8 slices of toast down there, and boy, we could tear that up. We were kids, but the good Lord allowed me to see it. I very rarely ate toast by itself with nothing on it, and never did I eat cinnamon by itself. I heard you would choke, and although I do like sugar and things, and I've tried to cut way back here recently, but I never even ate spoonfuls of sugar by itself, nor did I get a spoonful of butter and eat that by itself. I didn't do any of them by itself. But when you put them all together, it was good. And so the Lord allowed me to see as a young man what we can't take by itself. When it all is put together in the end, he makes it beautiful and he makes it good. For that, I'm thankful. How many know life is all about learning and applying? How many still learning? How many still applying? Learning and applying things concerning life will be here to the day that we are taken from this world. And I will say this on the outset of this lesson. Some of you know, some of you don't, and I don't think we have made it necessarily an announcement about it in a publicly manner. But with all things being spoken, and I guess we haven't even spoken to it about as a family, but Dad was diagnosed with cancer on his vocal cords yesterday. So we have, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, about 6 weeks of radiation coming. So be in prayer for that. Many of you know Dad has a big, loud voice like mine. And so, you know, as of right now, he can only get whispers out. And so, but faith is in the place, so, and in the situation. So we're thankful for that. And so just be in prayer for him and my mom as well. She's had several, came back from Tyler once again today with neck procedures. And so anyway, just be in prayer for those situations, and thank you from our family. We appreciate that so much. Well, turn around and look at somebody and smile. Turn around to somebody else and look at them and smile. This is always a good opportunity for you to connect me, get a drink of water. Praise God. I want to speak, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I taught on faith to finish. And if you wasn't here, basically that there is a finish for all of us in life, and there is a finish for your situation. And you don't know where that finish line is, and it is probably, most likely, probably 100% different than the finish of a situation of maybe a brother and sister or even family member, close friend, etc. And if we're not careful, we can get very frustrated because we can't see that finish line. God doesn't reveal that. But we just have to know that He is the finisher, because the Bible calls Him the author and the finisher of our faith. And so it is that we have to make sure that we have faith for the finish, wherever that is. And as I was studying that out, and as God laid it upon my heart, God dealt with me again upon another topic related to this, and I guess you can say part two, portion two, etc., and we'll go from here. But there was something that I jumped out at the pages of God's Word as I was trying to get myself maneuvered through that context and that subject matter, and it's this, and I'm going to pause this, and I'm going to just say something here really quick, that life is brutal, and we all know that. And probably the most brutal activity of a sports nature that you could partake of around here would be football. And although it is very brutal, there's one thing, Sister Dot, do you know anything about football? Well, I want to tell you this about football. When you are training in football and when you're practicing, because it is so violent and the hits are hard and everything is just done hard, you run hard. Everything is done hard. Even in basketball, you may slow down a little bit. In football, you don't. Baseball, you may slow down. Football, you don't. Football is done. Everything is hard. But I will say this, that even in a practice game, if you go half speed, you're almost certainly to get hurt. They will teach you that in football. You can't do it at half speed. It's either everything or nothing, and whatever happens, happens. And so life is often like this, and living for God is like this, and I wanted to put that in our context because I wanted to put it in our thinking concerning our walk with God and in our relationship with God and us getting through this life and becoming overcomers and preparing our hearts to meet Him. We cannot simply do it half-hearted or halfway. Or at half speed. Sometimes there is a process of knowing when to stand still and know that He is God. That's a principle. But it's done with this topic that I want to talk about tonight. And so the Bible says, and if you have the word of the Lord and turn to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I will try to be very mindful of the time as well. I know minds and bodies do get weary. But Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to read a familiar portion of Scripture. But this is what came to me as I was studying the previous subject. But without faith, it is what? It's impossible. Impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is God, and that that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The more I got to studying about faith, the more I realized that the word diligence was a key factor in faith. Diligence is a key factor in faith. I began to look at diligence and sort of dig things up and God trying to talk to my heart and God trying to talk to my mind and God trying to prepare me in my relationship with Him. But in the world that we live in for the younger people, the life is lived at a fast pace. For people that have advanced and have some days behind them, and such as my father, life is not lived at such a fast pace. But diligence is still key in both areas of life. Idleness is the devil's playground. And sometimes we're in life and we can't do nothing. We can't go anywhere. We can't move. Brother Jerry just recently pulled his hamstring. It wasn't much you could do. We have all found ourselves in that place. And when we're idle and at a standstill, the devil can have a playground within our mind. When we're alone and we're isolated, the devil can have a playground within our emotions. But we have to be diligent in all things concerning our faith. So we look at diligence, and what does diligence look like? What does it play out? Can you give me an illustration? And so tonight, I want to pursue this, that we become even the more diligent in the day and hour we live in. I promise you, if we are not diligent, we will go at half speed and we will get hurt. Diligence. The paying a proper attention of a task, giving a degree of care and required of a particular situation. Literally, you can define it as an exercise of carefulness or a persistence or a determination to achieve a goal. It's like words would be a lot of carefulness or thoughtfulness or attentiveness or persistency. And the opposite of this would be carelessness. And this word hit me, negligence. Sloppiness, slothfulness. We have to understand when it comes to our faith, for our faith to rise to the occasion, to meet the demand that you are in, whatever situation that you are in life and your heart is dealing with, it's going to take diligence with your faith. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take a careful attention to. It's going to make sure that if a thought is not considered to be the word of God, that is supplied within your thinking, you have to do something about it and do it quick. You cannot allow your mind or emotions. You have to become diligent. You don't want to get lazy with it. You don't want to become carelessness with it. You've got to be diligent in your pursuit of Him. And the Bible says it, that He will reward you if you do it with diligence. And so I look in Scripture, and if you have the word of the Lord and turn to the book of 2 Peter, again, my mind went to it. 2 Peter, the first chapter, the fifth verse. He said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, I want to stop right here, and we got to look at this and sort of dig this out and put it in the context into our life. We we don't mind the word faith, and we like the word faith, and we live the word faith. And in Luke 18, we know that Jesus Christ is coming back to, and he's looking for faith. And so faith is something that obviously, and Pastor Meyer has always preached this to us, but with this faith comes something, and we have to add to that faith these qualities. Faith can't just, it just can't be left alone. It can't be just sit on a shelf. Faith can't be just not attended to. Faith has to be carefully attended to. So add to your faith virtue, but you have to do it with diligence. Diligence is the ingredients to all of it. And then the Bible says, add to virtue knowledge. And from knowledge, temperance. And this is where it really got me. Temperance means self-control. Sometimes I can get out of control. My emotions can get out of control. For a man, his emotions getting out of control is maybe throwing something. Let me just be real. Throwing something, hitting something, getting crazy-eyed. For a woman, out of control may mean breaking down where you can't even control the process and stop tears of getting so frustrated, clamming up. I mean, sometimes it's opposite too. But it says, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. And this is something, but it has to be done with diligence. And you could see that the Lord is really just squeezing on me and really trying to, Chad, listen, this isn't a day and an hour. You cannot approach these days without managing your faith and doing it with diligence. Patience. Naturally. You know what? A lot of times I think if you're patient, then you're half-hearted. When in non-reality, that's not true. The Bible says that add to your faith patience. Well, listen, God is going to give you every opportunity to learn how to be patient.
Well, that's exciting shout material right there, I'm telling you.
He's going to give you every opportunity to try to add virtue to your life. He's going to give you every opportunity to try to learn self-control. It's only going to be by the help of the Holy Ghost. That's why we are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. But that's just not for use for dancing and shouting. That's used for also application of life. I cannot become self-controlled without the help of God's Spirit inside of me applied by His Word. Let me just say it this way, and my brother's here and he knows it for a fact. I can't even think straight without the help of God. He knows what I was like when I was a kid. But this element of faith, growing faith, becoming alive, faith that has a ready answer. It is with diligence I give myself godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. When one is diligent, faith is transformed from what we believe into what we actually live. It's because we become diligent with it. Diligent faith causes one to consistently change because there's an adding process taking place. It is this process of being become more spiritually mature. How many really enjoys growing in Christ? That's a unique question. I like the fact that I am growing in Christ, but I can't tell you that I always enjoy growing in Christ. When the Bible says put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't kidding. But sometimes he doesn't fit. Well, it's because I'm trying to get him to fit me. My life schedule, my life's desires, when I want it, how I want it, where I want it, etc. And I realize my faith has got to learn. It's got to apply. Now watch this. This is good stuff, I'm telling you. And this is not me. This is the word of the Lord, so it's good. Okay? Watch this. We're going to move quickly here. Bible says, brotherly kindness, and if these things be in you, if they be in you and abound in you, they make you. How many of us remembers that old song we learned at Sunday school? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I don't get to sing up there. I have to take opportunity here. Took him but a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How faithful he must be. He's still working on me, right? And I honestly, how much we did not know that song, when for me, Sister Joanne was teaching us, that it would apply and God would bring that to my memory as I'm going through my trials. But the Bible says, if those things be in you and they abound in you, that means growing, that means flourishing, that it will make you. And you will not be barren, you will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Watch this, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind, cannot see afar off, have forgotten what the Lord did for them at Calvary. When I can't see in my situation, when I can't see, I've got to know with all diligence that God is working on my behalf. When I don't understand, when my mind cannot fathom where my finish line is, if I can reference the lesson 2 weeks ago, but what all it entails in my future, when I cannot see, it may be because I have not added to my faith virtue and virtue knowledge, self-control, and brotherly kindness, and charity, and temperance, and all of those things. But maybe I'm not adding to that, and so my prayer this week, as God started dealing with me on this is God, I want to be diligent with my faith. But God, you got to help me because I fail. I'm not trying to set myself up for failure, but I know that I'm flesh. But all I'm asking you to do is this, Lord, that where I lack diligence in a particular area, Lord, reveal that unto me and then help me because I'm willing. I desire it, but I know I'm going to fall. And so verse 10, watch this. And I believe if we pray those prayers, God's going to help us. Verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give. It's a scripture that pastor, all the time he says it. But give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. I won't fall. How would you like 100% money back guarantee on this stuff? Lifetime warranty. You want to take it? It's there on one condition. There has to be application. Let me get it to where we live at. There are guarantees that you can get on cars or this or that, but there has to be one condition. And let me just sort of illustrate it. I've seen these before. You have to have your oil change. You have to have a record of all the oil changes. Has anybody ever heard of any of this? I mean, you got to write it down, but usually it's got to be at that one location. I mean, there's stipulations, but if you do all of that and something goes wrong, then there's a guarantee. But if you don't have record of it, or if you went 2,000 miles over their limit of what their guarantee was, well, then those conditions have been violated, and therefore the guarantee is not there. Does that make sense? If I want a 100% guarantee on how I can overcome my trials, get through this world, be an overcomer, rejoice forevermore, have my place in heaven, and do what God wants me to do and allow him to work through me and live an abundant life, there is a 100% guarantee on it, but it is a condition on where and if I practice these things. And it's done by diligence, carefulness, attention, putting a focus on it. And I have failed so many times. But my prayer is, God, you know my heart. As a church, we have fallen. As families, we have come short. There's grace and mercy for that. if he knows our hearts and sees us. So I'm going to go quickly here. I started at 7:18. It's 7:36. So at this point, you've been with me for 18 minutes. All right. Bible says this. Let me ask you a question. Does God measure progress? Does his Bible teach the principle? Does he measure progress? Does he expect returns? Principles. So stop here. This is the way I live life. And if you hang around me, you're going to know it. Two young men are getting it pretty consistently daily right now. Right? And so, anyway, this is the way I live life. When I'm faced with one of those questions, either I've supplied that question or life has supplied that question, I stop. And my mind all of a sudden goes through the scriptures, flipping through. And I'm looking for one or two things. Does anybody know it? I've said it before. I'm looking for a principle or a Bible story that can be applied. So does God expect returns? Quickly through the gospel. He gave one man talents. So I know he is a God that looks at progress, and I know he is a God that looks at return. Now, thankfully, he doesn't say you have to get to this or you're done. Thankfully. All he's saying is, I'm just looking for a return. If you have one, if you just give me two. Right? Whew, that's a lot of mercy. And we have a lifetime to give it. And we have his grace and mercy to get there to give it. All we have to do is apply the word. So, watch this really quick. I've got three things, and there's if you want to study in the Bible, there's a lot of them. But the Bible says your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is what? The issues of life. When you don't keep your heart with diligence, when you are not careful, let's go back and define diligence. When you're not careful, when you're not paying attention to your thoughts and your emotions, when you're just giving it a little carelessness or allowing things of this world to affect it, don't allow the thing. I'm telling you, this world is whipping me up good right now. If I'm not careful, I'll allow the news lines to affect me so great. I will allow all of these things to just affect me. And let me give you something that the Lord gave me here recently. And I know our country is in a day that we have never been at. And if you do not know it, I have a flag at my home and I have a flag at my office. My grandfather is buried over on foreign soils because he gave his life for our freedom. I am a patriot and I am an American through and through. No questions asked. Honor and thankful for everybody that has ever did anything that to serve our country and give their life. I was reading Acts chapter 1, right before the day of Pentecost, and Jesus Christ was talking to them about the kingdom of God. In the 40 days, the Bible says in the 40 days that he came back and he ministered to them, he ministered to those things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So everything he said was wrapped up in the kingdom of God. And do you know what their question was? When are you going to restore our nation? They said, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus had to correct them again. I don't know where we're headed, and I don't know where we're going to end up. And if I give more emotions of anger or whatever, or if I give more thoughts to that element than I do the kingdom of God, we're getting out of balance. Does that make sense? You don't have to feel offensive, and you don't feel like unpatriotic. But in the end, it's the kingdom of God that will stand and reign forever. And Acts chapter 1 presented that to us. He said the kingdom of God. They still were getting it wrong. They were saying the kingdom of Israel. God's going to have his way. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. So, that's what he spoke to me this week, or last week. But out of the heart, diligence, keeping and guarding your heart. My next point, if you have Facebook, go read the deal today. I put it on there. Inside the seed, there's potential. Everything is wrapped up inside that seed. And when that seed comes to fruition, God will get everything right. It just produces, and the seed is the Word of God. And we have to, the Bible says that the Word of God has to become engrafted into our hearts. The only way you're going to keep your heart with all diligence is His Word. How many knows this? I'm going to go quick. How many knows it's very hard to retrain yourself how to think? Anybody got some life stories on that one? The only way that you're going to learn how to think correctly is after you are born again of the water and the Spirit, to allow this Word of God to literally train your mind on how to think. That's the only way you're going to overcome. And once again, God gives us plenty of opportunities to practice it, apply it, and to get it right. How many's here recently wanted to knock somebody's block off? How many, if somebody does something to one of your family members, child, grandchild, etc., you're ready to take vengeance as mine, saith me. I was riding down the road, and I was riding down the road, and it's on I-30 coming into Sulphur Springs, and the Bible and the billboard said, "Real Christians love their enemies." Oh. That's what I felt like, brother. I don't know who wrote it, who came up, or who paid for that billboard, but man, I got hit hard with that one. Real Christians love their enemies. I mean, it was point blank and simple, to the point, period. And I prayed, "God, I'm not there yet," quietly. Sometimes I'm successful, not all the time, but I want to become diligent on allowing you to keep shaping my heart, that when my enemy speaks evil against me or does something even to somebody that I love dearly, I say, "Lord, help me. Help me. Help the situation." So God perfectly gives us opportunities. So, prayer. Bible says, real quick, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Giving diligence to prayer. Prayerful attitudes. A consistent prayer life. A prayerful attitude is not as... Let me make sure that I'm explaining this correct. And believe me, don't ever feel like you're perfect with prayer. Prayer is something that you learn. Let me just stop this. Let me just stop and... I'm trying to teach tonight. Okay? You have to learn how to pray. And even from where you're at in your prayers, you have to even learn how to pray in another level or a greater manner. And this is the reason why. They said to Jesus, they said, when it came to prayer, they said, "Teach us to pray." Teach us. It's a learning. It's a learning and doing, and then it's a learning some more and doing, and it's a learning and some more and doing. And so when you're in situations in life, sometimes I'm in a situation in life and I'm giving diligence to, if I'm going to give diligence to this thing, I've got to say, "Lord, you're going to have to teach me how to pray concerning this situation, because I really don't know how to pray concerning what we got going on here." Does that make sense? So when you're praying without ceasing, you're consistently learning how to pray. And Pastor Myers done always a good job of telling us we should always be in an attitude or a mode or a manner of prayer in our mindset, that at any moment prayer could become spontaneous. But that scripture also refers to a consistent prayer life. And Jesus taught that. And I've got that wrong 100 million times. Thankfully, I remember old brother Kilgore saying, and boy, did I feel better. He said, "Man, when I started out in this thing, I told the Lord I was going to fast, and man, I came up short again and again and again." And as a young preacher that was about 18 years old trying to figure all this thing, I was like, "Oh, brother James Kilgore, do that. I got a chance." Then everybody would be rushed to the altar, and we'd pray for 30 minutes. But thankfully, He's not grading us on our mess ups. He's grading us on our get-ups. Thankfully, he's not grading me on my mess-ups. He's grading me on how much I get up. And that's what he's looking for. And when it comes to prayer, the Bible says, James 5 and 16, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Diligence. I exhort you, therefore, first of all, watch this, supplications, comma, prayers, comma, intercessions. Those are not the same thing. They're all under the umbrella of prayer, but there's a time when there's supplication. That means you come and you bow reverently before God and you petition him of things. And then there's prayers in general, and then there's intercessory prayer. And so all of these three levels, and he says this with all diligence. With diligence, I exhort you, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayer, and intercessions, and giving of thanks, be it made of all men. We will not arrive into the place that God wants to bring us as a person, as an individual, as families, and as a church, and as a community, and from there on, without diligently saying, God, you know what? You know I have failed more than even I know I've failed. You know I'm a failure. But from this time forward, my prayer is, God, I'm going to be diligent with my faith. I'm going to have your word, and I'm going to be diligent with your word, and I'm going to be diligent with my prayers. And God, when I do fall, just show me, say, hey, Chad, you haven't been diligent here lately. And God, I wanted you to tell you, if you will do that, I'm willing for you to do that. If you'll do that for me, I'll repent right there and I'll pick myself up and I'll try to get back on track. Do you think God's going to honor that kind of attitude? Of course he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently. So now, it comes to the heart, the prayer, and the word of God. Watch this. 7:48. I got 12 minutes, all right? I'm putting myself. I don't want to bore you. So, word of God. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. We love this portion of Scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I shall love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, strength. But the next verse said, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you need to teach them diligently to your children. Teach them diligently. Be diligent about your conversations. Be purposeful. I am so thankful Pastor Meyer and you, the family that is here knows his conversations are purposeful. He taught me, be purposeful with this stuff. I don't know if y'all know this, but when he came to Paris, he came up with 3 statements, I believe. Has he ever told y'all this? This is diligence. He came up with 3 statements. I believe it was 3. I can't remember them all, but if I heard that one, I know I remember it. But his goal was this. His goal was to see how long in the community, being out in the community, how long it would take for one of those statements to get back to him from somebody else, that they were telling it to him. So he would know the seed that he has planted had gone somewhere and it got back to him, right? So that's diligence. That's purposeful. That's meaningful. And so this faith that we're looking into and we're adding to and we're exercising when it comes to the Word of God, when we talk about it, we need to be diligent with our children and my kids. I have failed many times, but I've tried to be diligent for the most part on saying, listen, this is what the Word of God says about this. Wherever they're at in life, this is what the Word of God says about this. Even my guys that work with me, and I try to tell them, this is what the Word of God says about this. I want to be diligent in the Word of God and searching and seeking and looking into the Word of God, but I want to be diligent in my conversations. They said this, we should be diligent. This is the description of diligence. You talk about the Word of God. When you sit down in your house, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you're rising up, it's the word of the Lord. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Deuteronomy 4 and 9. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and that you do not depart your heart from all the days of your life, to make them known unto your sons and your grandsons. With all diligence, keep your soul. Now here's the deal. We do not automatically become diligent, careful, attentive in things. We become that. He makes us. I promise you, if you're open to this stuff, he's going to show you, hey, you need a little bit more diligence with this. And if you are, it's going to produce a better outcome in your relationships, in the way you look at life, in the way you deal with life. How many's got some problems here tonight? He's got some issues that you don't know what the end is yet. My prayers, Lord, I want to become diligent in my faith and in my relationship with you. Show me, also my prayer follows, show me my lack of diligence. And when I see a failure in my life, show me if somehow I might have failed in that situation because I did not give diligence concerning a certain thing. Is that open enough to God? If I see a failure in my life, God, show me where, if I would have been diligent in this, my outcome would have been different. Just honesty before the Lord. Diligence, constant, consistent, not fickle, not erratic, not fluctuating all the time, just diligence. So I'll end with this, and this gives us some hope, or at least gave me some hope. When Jesus was at the place that he needed someone the most, in his ministry, I'll give you a second as I provide you words. You can just take your mind now and go through the gospel and stuff. Through the stories that we read in the gospels and the times that he was either by himself or asleep on the boat or maybe in the wilderness or the temptation of the devil and all those things that took place in his life, the one time that he needed someone, he gave an invitation for them to be with him. He needed someone so much, he invited three men to come with him. And Peter and James and John took that walk among the bushes and through the little walk areas. As the moon quite possibly was glistening through the trees and maybe the chirping of the nightly birds or something. And they sat down and Jesus needed someone. And he said, you stay here. I got to go over there. And he went over there. And the Bible says he prayed for an hour. He was needing someone. And he came back to find the three men that he invited in that Garden of Gethsemane. He asked them to pray with him. Not physically, but in that garden. Be in prayer with me, guys. I need your prayers. And he came back, and they had not been diligent. They were slack. They were slothful. They were lazy. And they were asleep. And he corrected them. He said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not just watch with me for 1 hour? Please get up. I have never asked y'all for needing of anything in particular, but this is the time that I need somebody to be diligent. And he left. And the Bible says he came back. And they still were not diligent, and they were asleep. He goes back a third time, and he prayed, And he came back. And on the third time, once again, he found them slothful, unattentive, and lazy, and not diligent. And he gave them grace and mercy. And he said, sleep on, for the hour is here. They didn't have diligence right. Correct? But thank God they got it right in the end. That story gives me hope that in my areas, Brother Jeff, where I lack diligence, God's got some grace and mercy. He's going to provide me some instructions, but he's got grace and mercy. And he's like, you know what? You're going to get it right in the end. I want us to all stand all over the house. Wanted to give you something from my heart that really the Lord just dealt with me at tonight. And I wanted to link it with the most important thing we have, and that is faith. But I want us to pray here that God would help us, that we would, and there's so many here that have diligence. So you're diligent people when it comes to the things of God. And I realized that before I taught this lesson. But I know you're probably like me. And there's some areas that God could help you out in. And I want us to pray for ourselves, first of all. And then I want us to pray for the, as we branch out, family, community, church, leadership, community, etc. And just begin to pray. But the Bible says it's even needs that you have. Did he not give us the story of the persistent widow to the heathen king? And the heathen king rewarded the persistency, the diligent widow of her need? Is that not in the Bible? We have needs. And sometimes because they have not yet came to fruition, we've backed away and we're no longer diligently praying about those needs. And God says, return to that diligence of that prayer for that lost loved one, for that miracle, for that need. Return. Be persistent. Be diligent. I want us to pray right now. Sister Kylie, you can play whatever you feel. If you don't even want to sing, if you just want to play, that's fine. But I want us to pray right now. God, I know I'm only here because of your faithfulness and not my own. God, I know I'm only here because you've given me levels of grace and mercy, God, that I can't even fathom and I can't even process, Lord. I wept today because I realized that I not only do I love you, God, but I really care about you. It caused me to come to tears, God, because I have the opportunity. I actually care about you. But Jesus, I ask right now, our faith is so important. And your word teaches us to add to this faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control temperance, and brotherly kindness, and charity. And Lord, your word teaches us to be diligent to guard our heart and be diligent with our soul and be diligent with the word and be diligent with prayer, be diligent with fellowship, be diligent with worship, be diligent, oh Lord. And God, sometimes we're good and sometimes we're not. But Lord, I pray right now that you would help me. Help me, oh God, in the areas of my life. That God, once again, that if there's any place that I need to become more diligent at, more careful with, more attentive to, Lord, and not be slothful or lacker, just so whatever happens will happen. God, I don't want to be that around situations and areas of that I'm going through right now and places within my heart and my thinking. But God, I want to give you room to exercise and to literally, as your word says, to make me. Because God, there's a world out there that needs you, and it's only going to be affected by people that have come to you in a diligent manner over again with precision, oh Lord, and carefulness about their walk with you and about their faith. And God, there's a world out there that needs a church, God, that is being diligent with your word and diligent with worship and diligent with giving and diligent, Lord, with serving and diligent, oh Lord. And I pray, God, that we would be diligent and allow that diligence, oh God, to come forth. And Lord, let it produce, as your word says, abound. Let it abound, oh God, into all things. And I believe, Lord, we will see see great miracles, and we will see great revival, and we'll see lost loved ones come into this place and turn their life back to you. And we will see things, God, as we are persistent about those areas and situations. God, I ask you right now to remake me, God. Make me into you. Let my mind, oh God, be made into you. Let my heart, oh Lord, be made. As your word said, let this mind that was also in Christ Jesus, let that mind be in me. Let me give diligence to that, oh Lord, I pray. God, I start right now to pray for my family. Let us be diligent, oh Lord, as a family. Let us be diligent, oh God, as a church. Let us be diligent, oh God, I pray, in our community. Let us be diligent. Let our faith, oh God, be diligent faith. Oh, in the name of Jesus. If you have a need in your life right now, I want you to lift your hands. God's going to strengthen you right now in the name of Jesus. I've never left you nor forsake you. I'm with you always in Jesus' name. Receive that word right now in the name of Jesus for your faith. We have a God that is diligent to serve you. He was diligent to make his way through the cross. He was diligent and very careful and very thoughtful on his way to Calvary to take your sins. And that same God is diligent to meet your needs in the name of Jesus right now. God, if there be sickness, Lord, let it be healed. If there is a mind, oh God, that cannot get clarity and there is confusion and distortion, I pray, God, right now a prayer that you would provide in the name of Jesus a peace that passeth all understanding, that would still the emotions and reclarify the thoughts, oh God, and then allow those thoughts to be of you in the name of Jesus. I praise your name. Now I want us to worship him. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy, oh God, you are worthy. Come on, holy, oh God, you are holy. Righteous, oh God, you are righteous. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus. And I bless your name. I worship you. In the name of Jesus, where you can or where it's comfortable, if it's all possible, maybe just reach your hand and grab, you know, the person standing beside you, and just don't be in a place that's not comfortable. I don't want to violate anything with all things that are going on, but if you can pray for somebody, God, right now in the name of Jesus, if you can't, just reach your hand out and just pray. Begin to pray. Lord, strengthen my brother, strengthen my sister, strengthen my loved ones, God. Strengthen them, Lord. I'm going to be diligent about praying for their needs. I'm going to be more diligent about praying, oh Lord, for the needs of my brother and sister in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord. Oh, God, I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I praise you, God, and I honor you. I am so thankful. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My motive and agenda, so that you will know, when I do just teach, it's really just a learning and then application, just like I said, life is. Life is learning and then applying what you learn. And that's just what the Lord places in my heart. And I pray that we would do that. Amen. Let's pray for Pastor and Sister Myers that they are away. But let's just pray that God would strengthen them. Lord, strengthen our leadership. Strengthen Pastor and Sister Myers. Strengthen their family. Minister unto them, O Lord Jesus. Let your glory rest upon them, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, if you love the Lord, turn around. Take it out on somebody standing beside you with a smile or a wave or whatever you're comfortable with. God's good. Amen. Amen.